quarter to six. Still, Stephen Mayne is a business commentator with a view on most things to do with business. He certainly has a view on the plunging Australian dollar, which is highlighting our broader financial weakness. He's on the phone. G'day, Stephen.
Hi, Smithy. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. I spoke with Wayne Swan a couple of hours ago, and the Treasurer said that he's quite happy with our levels of foreign reserves, and he did pass some comment on the Australian dollar heading south. You have pretty strong views about this, though.
Well, I think the fact that our dollar fell by 1 point to almost 7 cents in the 24-hour period was just unprecedented. Mm. And that was at a time when the American financial system was meant to be collapsing. And so it should be their dollar that's collapsing, and it should be our dollar that's rising, given that we've got the strongest banks in the world, as we keep being told. So clearly there's another story here, and I think that it goes back to the fact that we have a massive $60 billion current account deficit, and we're borrowing $60 billion a year from the rest of the world. And there'll be challenges rolling over our $620 billion foreign debt. And, you know, it's not all just about the strength of our banks. There are also other things like, you know, the amount you borrow offshore as well.
By geez, we're heading into some troubled waters, aren't we, globally?
Well, I mean, globally, it's just unprecedented. I mean, I don't know, is it just Mondays in October? I mean, last Monday, Wall Street was down 777. Yesterday, it was off more than 800 at one point. Of course, It was a Monday back in October 87. Look, we're basically seeing the parts of the global banking system being nationalised, governments around the world having to openly guarantee deposits, carpet bombing the global banking system with liquidity, buying up banks, and, you know, 25 banks have fallen over. Yep. And we've never seen anything like it. And now we're going to see coordinated cuts in interest rates around the world. And we've got the ball rolling today with a 100 basis point cut, which has got the whole world talking and actually has turned around markets. The European markets are up in early trade, as was the Indian market. And everyone's looking at Australia and saying, that's the future. The big bankers, the central bankers, are all going to cut rates around the world until this problem is fixed.
NAB, by the way, mate, has just come out and said it'll pass on 80 basis points of that 100 cut. So that seems to be the benchmark, about the 80 basis points or 0.8 of 1%. Stephen, you interested me. You've made the comment that with foreign reserves of just $30 billion, we're close to the lowest in the developed world. And I have had a look at some of the score tables. It does not seem to be a large amount of money for a country of our size, our economy size, to hold in foreign reserves.
Well, I agree. We have $30 billion in foreign reserves. You know, Libya's got $79 billion. Turkey's got $78 billion. Nigeria's got $65 billion. Indonesia's got $62 billion. So we talk about all our super and the fact that we haven't got a big budget deficit and our banks are strong, but for some reason, Howard and Costello allowed our foreign reserves to run down, and they stripped about $24 billion in dividends out of the Reserve Bank. And in a time of global crisis, foreign reserves is your last sort of point of call. It's your last backstop that you can defend yourself. Now, the Pakistanis are about to run out of foreign reserves. The Icelanders have come out and said they're probably broke because they've run out of foreign reserves. So we've got $30 billion. We have got $40 billion in the Future Fund, which is good, and the Feds are running a surplus. So I'm not suggesting for a moment we're going to run out of foreign reserves, but I do think that, you know, when the Koreans have got $250 billion, we shouldn't be sitting there at 37th in the world. That during this biggest ever resources boom, we should have been banking the boom, we should have been building our reserves, we shouldn't be running a $60 billion current account deficit, and we should have more than $100 billion of foreign reserves to really be, you know, a top 10 strong nation in these times of crisis.
Yeah, it certainly needs leadership at the federal level to steer us in that direction. Do you see that coming?
Well, I think the Feds are doing a reasonable job, although they probably should come out and say, you know, look, we're not going to have a $20 billion surplus this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's going to be less than $10 billion. You know, we'll be happy to be in surplus at all.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger issue is the fact that our states are borrowing with their ears pinned back. I mean, New South Wales is borrowing $18 million a day. Queensland's borrowing, I think it's about $12 or $13 million a day. The states overall are going to borrow more than $20 billion this financial year. So, you know, if California turns around and says we need a $7 billion bailout, there is an issue about the fact that in Australia, the states do most of the heavy lifting and they're all borrowing with their ears pinned back.
Yep.
And, you know, that you can't borrow in a credit-constrained world as easily. And the states are going to have to tighten their belts.
You just mentioned briefly two major US state governments, California and I see Massachusetts, have warned that they will probably need loans from their federal government to tide them over. That's frightening, that sort of, for Western developed, you know, US states to be in that position.
Yeah, well, look, the way this credit crisis is playing out is that no one believes private banks anymore. So particularly after the Germans over the weekend suddenly said that their hypo real estate bank needed 50 billion euro, not 15 billion euro. Yep. So this was a major shock to the system. And no one believes the banks anymore. So now we've got a situation where governments are having to give guarantees and people only trust governments. And so second tiers of government can't raise the cash. So they've got to rely on their first tier of government to shore up their credit rating.
Where will it all end?
Well, I guess the ultimate solution for policyholders is that they can all cut interest rates to zero and they can all madly print money. I mean, that's the final thing. But I think it will end with substantial nationalisation and recapitalisation of the banking system, a whole bunch of Wall Street bankers going to jail, and a world which goes into a recession, not a depression, just a recession, until we all learn we've got to live within our means and we can't just keep having a big party on borrowed money, which is what we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years during the world's biggest ever credit bubble.
You sound like a responsible parent, Stephen Mayne.
Well, I just, you know, I teach my kids, you got to, you know, spend as much as you earn, that sort of stuff. But we've just had one big party and, you know, Australian households have got $1 trillion of debt sitting there. And, you know, we've all borrowed to buy the plasma, so to speak. And we just haven't been responsible. At least we've been more responsible than the Americans, who've been absolutely outrageously reckless with a $9 trillion public debt over there, the biggest debt in the world.
Stephen Mayne, at this point in the conversation, it becomes impossible to focus on anything except the harp I can hear in the background, and I'm turning my mind to where could you possibly be?
My wife's the director of the RACV, and we've got the President's Dinner tonight where we're hosting all the other clubs, so the Melbourne Club, the Athenian Club, the Australian Club. So we're all in our penguin suits, and the pre-dinner drinks are starting, and the harp is playing, and we're going to have a very fine meal down here at the RACV.
I thought I'd have to run a segment, a Where's Stephen segment. I had the boss of the LNP, Bruce McIver, speak to me at about this time a couple of days ago, and there was a piano in the background. He would not fess up to where he was. We had many and varied imaginative responses to the question to our listeners, where's Bruce? But you've taken all the thrill out of that, Chase Stephen. You've spoken the truth.
Well, I can tell you the RACV is Australia's finest club, $2 billion of assets, a big new $200 million facility, and a very fine harp player as well.
Stephen Mayne, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Vinny.
See you, mate.
See you.
Ta-da. A nice bloke, Stephen Mayne. 6 to 6.